the truth.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is pressing French President Macron to accept his request to reopen Brexit negotiations. Johnson says it's important the UK leaves the bloc on October 31st. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, hundreds of mourners packed a Louisiana cathedral to say farewell to the state's only female governor, Kathleen Blanco. She died Sunday from cancer at the age of 76. A summer filled with train disruptions for New Orleans passengers has reached its end. Amtrak has restored full service on its Chicago to New Orleans line. The line was restored Wednesday. California fishermen reporting one of the best salmon fishing seasons in years thanks to heavy rain and snow that ended the state's drought. One marine scientist says that commercial catches have so far surpassed official preseason forecasts by roughly 50%. This is SRN News.
Today we'll see a mix of sun and clouds. There's about a 1 in 5 chance of a thunderstorm. The high will be 92. This evening, mostly clear, overnight the low 75. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a 20% chance of rain. The high tomorrow, 92. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 91. Sunday, scattered thunderstorms and a high of 87. Thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth, and all this week on SWAT Radio with Doug McCary and Brad Sykes, we're going to let you hear some of your favorite SWAT radio broadcasts from the past. Both Doug McCary and Brad Sykes out all this week long, so stay tuned for this encore presentation of SWAT Radio.
Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All engines running, commit, liftoff. Hey, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. This is Doug McCary going solo today. Brad is actually picking up. Our speaker, John Mazel, who will be sharing at our SWAT retreat tomorrow, if we don't get washed away. It looks like the weather is trying to wash us away. Apparently, there is a tropical system. Some people are concerned about it turning into a hurricane. I don't think it's a hurricane yet, but people are, it's producing all this moisture. So if you're wondering what's going on, that's what's happening. And we are internet down. And back on and down and back on. You may be experiencing some of the same thing. You know, I don't know what happens when the weather, gets like this, people drive crazy and electrical things go crazy. You know, Steve, I mean, they just go crazy when the weather gets like this. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. We have my good friend, Jeff Wells, will be calling in today and will be joining us to talk about prayer. We've been talking about prayer all week and talking about just we're kind of playing on the heels of Paul Miller, how he shared last week. And you know, I went out and got Lori that book, A Praying Life, and it really moved her. She just talked about how it ministered to her. If you do not have that book, you can order that at amazon.com, or you can go to seejesus.net and get it from Paul. That's his, the website, Paul Miller, his website, and he has it there. So glad you're joining us today. Let's see, news, things going on in the news for you people up in Virginia. I don't know what your weather is because I don't have internet. I can't, you know, we've become so internet dependent now that you can't, you get used to doing things and being able to find out information to be able to speak to it, and we don't have it. So maybe somebody up there can call in and tell us what the weather's like up there. We don't know. I can't see right now because I'm in a studio with four walls. And now Jeff's telling me he called and he can't get in. So so we have no phone. So wow, I think because they're all related. So we will work on that and try to get that. You know what, Steve? I am going to take a quick break, and I'm going to try to play some music reel here, just real quick, so I can try to get this going with Jeff. So we will let people listen to something that they like. We have theme songs that we're on that we play a lot here, and I'm sorry for these technical difficulties. You know, it's just the rain. I think it's the retreat. It's the rain. It's all these things. So I am going to play. A lot of times you hear part of this. It's our theme song. It's called Brother, and I'm going to play a little more of it for you while I try to get Jeff on the line so we can talk about prayer. And if you're listening, you could pray right now. That'd be a good thing to pray for us. And hopefully we can get Jeff on. So let me see if we can get this going. Is any sound coming through, Stevie?
No, sir.
Okay.
I think I got something.
Siri not available. You are not.
Uh-oh. Oh, it won't, you know what? It won't let me play it there. So we're having issues all around. I can't even play. It won't even let me play. it won't even let me play these songs that I have on here because I guess they're connected to the internet. I didn't even know that. I'm learning all kinds of stuff today. So let's see. What about this one? Nope. It won't let me do it. That's amazing. All connected to the Wi-Fi, Steve. We can't play the music, so I have no internet. I have no phones. So you're just going to have to listen to me talk for a little while till we get this resolved and we try to get Jeff on the line. I am. I guess I could try to hook him up to my phone here and get hold it up here if we have to. To do that, because I think I'm broadcasting right now. I could put him right there and see if that will pick him up. Let's see, Steve, if I can do that. I'm going to set it right there, and I'm going to call Jeff and see if... I don't know what kind of quality this is going to be, but we are going to see if I can get him, because we're having these phone problems, and if the quality's decent, we're just going to let him talk on my phone and get on here. So thanks for sticking with us through this. Okay, I don't know, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, can you hear me? Jeff? Well, no, he didn't hear me. So we are just really... Hey, Steve, can you cut to one of... Well, you can't even bring up a song there, can you? We can't even, we are really in a bad way here. I don't understand. Let's see if I can get one of my old songs on here, because I know I've got something that we can do while I try to get Jeff on the line. How about this? Yeah, Avalon is good. I'll do that. Sorry, folks. Nope, that won't work. Here's a good one. We'll do Brandon Heath. He's always good. Let's do, if I can find him. This is a,
you belt out a tune?
Yeah. Okay, this is a good one. Let's see if this one will work.
All right,
see if we can do this. And yeah, I'm not going to be singing. So anything coming through?
Just a little bit of prepared.
We'll be right back. Just listen to Brandon Heath and give me your eyes, and I'll be right back, and hopefully we'll have Jeff on the line.
Best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black tie. Hold on for the sudden star. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah. busy street. See a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to arrive. Black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work. He's buying time. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, this is Doug McCary. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. It is SWAT Radio. It's not 88.1. It's not The Promise. It's not K-Love. It's the SWAT Radio, but we were having some technical difficulties, and now we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, good to be here.
Well, yay, man. We were praying because we had internet problems. We had phone problems. We just had all kind of issues going on. We've been having rain and thunder showers here. And so it's been frustrating. And I said, everybody just needs to pray, since we've been talking about prayer. And
well, good. And
we got you through. And Jeff, so people may not be able to hear us through the internet right now, okay, because the internet's down, but this program is recorded in entirety and it will be rebroadcast, so
right,
they will be able to hear it.
It'll be able
to do that. So after taking a breather, welcome back to SWAT Radio. I know you're traveling and everything, but you've been a guest on here before, and I just want to remind people that you are the senior pastor at Woods Edge Community Church in the Woodlands, Texas, and you're a former marathoner. You still marathon, but you don't race anymore. And you run. And I was with you a week ago out in Houston. Got to spend some time with you. And Jeff, you've just always been a great encourager, mentor, Paul type in my life. A guy who's just modeled humility and prayer. And I remember early on in our relationship, you talking about your prayer walks, how you'd get up in the morning, and prayer has just been something that we struggle with in an authentic way, because we haven't been taught, and you model it for me. And I wondered if you would just share a little bit about your own journey to learning how to pray. How did you learn how to pray?
Well, by praying. When I was a new Christian, I was a freshman at Rice University, which is a secular school in Houston, and I was a brand new Christian, and about 5 or 6 months after I became a Christian, I went to a gathering of college students in Dallas, Texas, and the speaker was Howard Hendricks, a professor at Dallas Seminary. And during the course of his talks, he said this, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks. He said, if you are serious about wanting to know God and loving God, this is what you'll do. You'll set aside time every day for prayer and Bible study, and you'll get along with God and seek Him. And I'd never heard that. I'm a brand new Christian, and my heart just sort of raced, and I thought to myself, I want to know God. I want to walk with God. I'm serious about God. And so I decided went back to Rice University a couple of days later, that I began doing that. And it was January of 1973, and I went down to the basement of my college dorm there, and I didn't hardly know what to do, but I learned to pray and read the Bible by praying and reading the Bible. I would start off with just 30 minutes. I'd go down there and find a large storage room where nobody was, and I found a chair, and I began reading in the Bible and praying. And I just began doing that. And that's 1973. So that's about 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it since, every day.
Have you ever struggled, Jeff, with I mean, we had Paul Miller on last week, who wrote a book called A Praying Life, which is a great resource.
That is a great book. I recommend that book.
Well, Paul was on, and one of the things he talked about is that we feel like we have to sometimes have this spiritual, not even a spiritual, but we just have to have this emotional feeling of connection all the time. And he in his book talks about that it's not necessarily the experience you seek. I mean, we should get experiences if we have an authentic relationship with God. But
right.
I did you ever struggle with that during that 40-year period of praying and just wondering if you're being heard? I mean, especially when you're praying Absolutely. About things that aren't being answered, because I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Absolutely, of course, and struggle with other aspects of prayer. But one thing I was committed to is that pretty soon I became convinced that Dr. Hendricks was right, that if you were serious about knowing God, you would show up whatever else happened or if you felt like showing up. And I just decided that I'm going to do this, and I've done that. Now, it's changed a lot. It's marked and what it looks like, but despite my struggles or my feelings or lack of it, I decided that I would just show up. Mm. Doug, let me relate it to my running. Back in I was a young man, I did run professionally for marathons around the world, and I ran for Nike shoes. And during that period of my life, I never got up in the morning and decided, am I going to go out and run today? I had already made that decision. I pre-decided that every day I'm running. And it's like that with me and my time with God. I don't ever wake up and make the decision, oh, I don't feel like today or I'm busy today. It's just what I do. And I've already made that decision that every day I'm going to meet along with God. And it's changed a lot over the years. It's actually gets longer over the years, and it's much more enjoyable now. I'd say, I don't know, is it 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but I'd enjoy it fine, okay, but it was all right. But the last 15, 20 years, I love it. I love it. It's the highlight of my day, completely honestly. I enjoy it. And so it's just something that I've just decided, I want to know God. I want to love God, and I need this time, so I'm going to do it.
Well, one of the things we like to do on SWAT Radio is mention resources that have been helpful in the journey. We obviously listed Paul Miller's book on prayer, Don Whitney, who wrote a great book on Christian spiritual disciplines, and that was very helpful in reading the Bible and praying. Both
Good.
Those men, Good. Jeff, said that reading the Bible and praying were basically, that's the starting point, those two elements. Is there
yeah,
any particular books or resources that have been helpful to you to encourage you in your prayer life specifically?
Absolutely. There have been a number of books that have been very valuable. Paul Miller's, I've not read Whitney's, though I hear very good things about it. Paul Miller's is a very good one. I would say this. I think the best overall view book on prayer is Tim Keller's book, that is simply called Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an overview. Keller is always superb, both theologically and motivationally. It's just an overall good book. But let me mention two or three small books in addition that listeners might ought to consider. One is a 20-year-old book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Brooklyn Tabernacle, if there is a church in America that epitomizes a house of prayer or a church focused on prayer, it would be Brooklyn Tabernacle. It's had an enormous influence on prayer in churches. Every Tuesday night, they have a dedicated prayer service that thousands of people go to. And it is an anointed time where you sense the presence of God and the passion for God. And he tells the story of Brooklyn Tabernacle in the fairly small book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and I'd recommend it.
Okay.
Now, another writer, a younger writer, is a pastor in Washington, D.C., is Mark Batterson, with a B, Batterson.
Okay.
And he's got a book called The Circle Maker, and he has a follow-up with some, I think the title is 40-Day Challenge, Drawing the Circles.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those are highly motivational, more inspirational.
Yeah.
About Corinth and the privilege of prayer. Both of those are good resources.
Did you ever read Practicing the Presence, the story of Brother Lawrence about, you know, that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did
great
you,
little book.
Yeah, the one thing I liked about that little book, I haven't read Circle Maker. Brad has, who is normally on here, but I have read Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Thought it was an excellent resource, and just Jim Cimbala was, I thought, was practical in there and very transparent about his own prayer life and some things that had happened there. But the thing I liked about Brother Lawrence's book, the little Practicing the Presence, was the practical reality of it, about just don't think that you, I mean, it's nothing wrong with getting away, but one of the things I observed about you is you talked about prayer walking and doing things out in the world in which you live. Mm-hmm. Could you expand on that a little bit about that?
I sure could, Doug. Well, one of the mistakes I made in my early years of praying was I pulled up a chair and sat down and didn't move. And most people pray in a good, comfortable chair. But for me, that wasn't my wiring. God has made me to be very, let me use the word, ambulatory. I like to be up, walking around. I spend much of my day, even if I'm writing a sermon, kind of pacing in my office. And finally, I realized that I don't need to sit in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began walking when I prayed. And I agree with those gentlemen that prayer and Bible study go together. It's just really one thing. I don't so much read the Bible in my time with God as I pray the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Meet with God. So it's all prayer. But now what I do is I go up to the office building very early in the morning because I'm a morning person. And that's easy for me. And we've got a big hallway. Probably takes me 2 or 3 minutes to make one circuit in the hallway. And for a couple of hours, I will be walking and praying. And sometimes I'll sit down a little bit and write down something. But I'm doing it in a way that fits me, my spiritual thumbprint. I like to sing some to the Lord and worship. There's a little bit of time of listening in silence and just before the Lord. And mostly I'm praying through the Bible. There's some times of intercession, but I found that fits me. Some folks love to get a big comfortable chair and a cup of coffee and kind of burrow into that chair and be with the Lord, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But find what works for you that you really enjoy, as long as the ingredients,
mm-hmm,
prayer and Bible.
That's awesome. Well, Jeff, Brad is, like I said, Brad was, he was on the line. Brad, I know Brad really loved that book by Mark Batterson, The Circle Maker. He thought that was very, can you tell me, since I haven't read it, so our listeners, and Brad's not here, I think he called in to try to get in, but we lost him. We're having some phone issues, but do you remember the main premise of that particular book, The Circle Maker?
Let me just say a bit about it, that he tells the story of their church, and God did some remarkable things. And basically, it's saying, trust God for God-sized things, pray for God-sized things, and pray and don't give up praying. Let me tell you about my first time to read it. I read it in 2013, and about February of the year is when I read it. Our church had made some mistakes. I started this church and went through the recession, and we got into way too much debt. We had about $15 million of debt, and we just weren't that big a church to have that much debt. We were a pretty good-sized church at the time, but we got way too much debt. And I'm reading this book, and he tells this story about trust God for God-sized things, that if God doesn't come through, you're sunk. And my heart again resonated with that, and I believed in that. In fact, I preached that man, ask God for big things, pray big, you know, trust, don't just ask for safe little things. And I'm reading that, and at the time, we had been paying off our debt since the recession of 2009 at about $2 million a year. We'd lived $2 million a year underneath our income, paying off the debt of $15 million. Well, by that time, we got it down to about $7 million. But it's going to take us another 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I felt that when I read that college, I felt, Lord, I don't think you want us to ask you to pay off the $7 million this year before the end of this calendar year. This is February. $7 million were due to about 3.5 more years. So we began doing that. I began doing that. I asked our people, let's begin praying for that. By October of that year, 9 months later, we completely paid off.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
That just was another encouragement to us. It God doesn't always say yes to us. Sometimes, you know, in his sovereignty and wisdom, we don't know what to ask for. But let's not say God's no for him. It's a good thing, ask God for
him. Yeah, I think that's awesome to ask him for the big things. Well, Jeff, Brad is on by phone now. He's normally sitting right here next to me. Brad, okay. Brad, welcome to SWAT Radio.
What's up, brother? How you guys doing, man?
Good. Good. We got Jeff on the line out in Texas. So we had a little difficulty at the beginning, but we're connected now. So,
well, Jeff, we're still experiencing some technical difficulties because I can't hear you, but I can hear Doug. But welcome back to SWAT Radio, my friend.
Thank you, man. I can't hear you, but I can hear you. I hear Doug real well.
Yep.
Hey, I'm on my way to the airport, Doug, to pick up John, and just wanted to chime in here. Circle Maker by Batterson, one of my favorite books. Great book. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, had a big effect on me. And I recently reread for the second time his sequel to that, is a 40-day prayer challenge. I think it's drawing the circles. That's also good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brad, I appreciate you picking up, John. I know you read that book, The Circle Maker, and Jeff had shared about talking about the big things. And, you know, I think we live in a world where we want to control the outcome a lot of times. So, by default, we're afraid to ask God for big things because we don't want to be disappointed. But, you know,
You want to be safe.
Yeah, we want to be safe, and he's not a safe God. He's not a safe God at all.
No.
Yeah,
well, I had the privilege of speaking at the group Jacksonville Business Fellowship this morning, and we tackled you know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Actually, I'm going to do 17 next week and 18 the following. But in prep for next week, it's, you know, rejoice always, pray constantly. And then in 18, he says, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, that whole idea, those three phrases, you know, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. Outside, you know, in our flesh, that's absolutely impossible. But in the spirit, we can do this. And, Jeff, I got to get off just because I can't hear you. But I appreciate what you said even about running and the discipline of just getting up and doing it. And you probably didn't start running 26 miles. You probably started with one, then two, then five, then 10. So, anyway, love you guys. Doug, I'll see you shortly, brother.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Jeff, that's part of it, too. I encourage people to start small. I know we got to go to a break here in about a minute for the half hour for the news.
Yeah.
But when we come back, could you speak to a little bit about how, like, I know you meet with a group of young guys and you meet regularly with them and you've met with people before, kind of taking them through discipleship principles and teaching them.
Right.
If you had a young guy out there or a young believer, how would you start encouraging them with prayer to do, playing off what Brad said, not trying to go for the 26.2, but maybe just starting off with a 1.5 when we come back from the break? Can you do that?
Great. I can.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Doug McCary on SWAT Radio, and Jeff Wells is our guest today from Woods Edge Church. And by the way, this I think our internet's back up, Jeff, so anybody out there should be able to listen, and we should be streaming now. If not, we will replay this probably in about 2 weeks, or you can listen online at www.swatradio.com starting. It'll be on Monday. So we'll be right back after this break. If you have questions for Jeff, you can send them to ask.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Police say a suspect has been arrested in the stabbing death of a man at the California State University Fullerton campus. The suspect was arrested in the death of 57-year-old Stephen Chan. He was found stabbed numerous times inside his car in a campus parking lot on Monday in what was believed to be a targeted attack. In a meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is doing what it can to help win the release of two Canadians being detained by China.
Please do know that our team is focused on helping those two Canadians be released. China needs to honor the commitments it's made to the world. And it's our expectation they'll do so, and we're working on it diligently. It's wrong that they're being held.
Pompeo made the remarks at the start of a meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Ottawa. China has appealed to Washington to meet each other halfway and settle a trade war instead of going ahead with planned tariff hikes Beijing warned will trigger retaliation. Exporters are preparing for a September 1st increase in U.S. duties in a fight over trade and technology. Also at townhall.com, Washington Governor Jay Inslee says that he's ending his presidential bid. Correspondent Mike Grossier reports.
The climate change candidate has dropped out of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, saying it had become clear he could not win. Washington Governor Jay Inslee announced his decision Wednesday night on MSNBC. Inslee was struggling to meet the requirements needed to appear on two high-profile debate stages in September. The 68-year-old Inslee's withdrawal from the crowded Democratic race follows the recent departures of U.S. Congressman Eric Swalwell of California and former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. I'm Mike Grossia.
Stocks are mixed. The Dow ahead 103 points and the NASDAQ down 15. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No active accidents, but there is a broken down vehicle on the West Beltway 295 southbound before Duval Road near the airport. Also, there's some roadway debris on I-95 heading south at the Fuller Warren Bridge, and also roadway debris on Butler Boulevard eastbound just before the 295 East Beltway. Partly cloudy tonight, expect below 75. Friday, mostly sunny, high 93.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries with my good friend Jeff Wells. If you're listening up on Virginia on 100.1 FM or 1010 AM up there, or listening through the internet, which has been restored now, you should be picking us up through the stream. We apologize for that first few minutes. We lost the internet, we lost our phones, we lost everything. And you know, Jeff, one of the things that and by the way, our guest is Jeff Wells, the senior pastor of Woods Edge Community Church in the Woodlands, Texas. And real quick, I wanted to remind our listeners that Jeff, even though he was a marathoner and a senior pastor, and God has blessed him and all those things, Jeff struggled with OCD and wrote a book called Breaking Free of OCD. My battle with mental pain and how God rescued me, that you can get at Amazon.com. And I would highly encourage you to read that if you or somebody you know struggles with OCD. I've given that book away to several people who have talked about how much it ministered to them and helped them. So you can get it. It's called Breaking Free of OCD. Even if you don't have OCD, just the things he shares in there about his own journey. And I'm sure, Jeff, there were some frustrating times for you in praying for God to take that and it not going away, right?
No question. No question. It's a lot of years of painful things. But Doug, if I could jump in, that one of the things about suffering and the suffering I did with mental disease was incomparably worse than any physical suffering of running grueling marathons or anything like that. But one of the advantages of suffering, and we all go through times of suffering, is that if we respond to God, it will drive us closer to God. And so all those years that I've been meeting with God for 45 years and loving it, all those years, not only did I want to know God and want to love God, but because of the mental health struggles, I was desperate for God. Mm-hmm. I felt like, man, I needed that. I was just hanging on at times, surviving, hanging on by my fingernails on the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And an advantage of suffering is that it will drive you to God if you respond to Him. And so suffering is no fun. It's painful, but let it take you to God. Jesus said to us in Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's true of lost people coming to Jesus, but that's true of believers when we're heavy laden and when we're weary. And I'm really about weary about every day because life is hard.
Yeah, it is so hard, isn't it? That. You and I were talking about that last week, just about how you know, the world is a painful place. It's because of sin. I mean, it's just the effects of sin, and it's really impacted us. And, you know, I think anyone who believes that their world isn't painful probably is either trying to self-med somehow or distract themselves from the pain. Because if you're in relationship, you are either going to be hurting for you, it's things you do and consequence of your bad choices, things that happen to them. And sometimes it's not bad choices at all. It's just the snowball effect of the consequences of sin throughout history that have splattered disease, splattered pain, and all kinds of things into our world that we deal with. And I think you're right, Jeff, driving us back to God in that desperation is something you see throughout Scripture. I mean, when you look at the Israelites, it was only a lot of times when they were in pain that they would turn to God anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. And you know, much of the world, they are their prayer lives are so vibrant and healthy, and especially in areas such as China, where there's a lot of persecution, and there's more and more persecution in China today, or in areas of great poverty, where there's starvation. When you have that kind of visceral, tangible pain, you're highly motivated to pray to God. You're desperate. Now, here in the United States, we've got a couple of challenges, and that we don't have the level of persecution that our lives are on the line. We got persecution, but our lives aren't on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you know, overall, we don't have the dire poverty that other places have, and so we've got a lot of money, and we're not getting thrown in jail for our faith at this point. And so that's a challenge for us, to recognize how desperate we are. But when we think about the direction of our culture and our society, the amount of suicide, divorce, the breakdown of the family and all the pain with children, with teenagers, the extensive alcoholism problems, drug problems across our society, all of the challenges. And I'm 65, Doug, you're a little bit younger, but in our lifetime, last 40 years, the United States has, you know, so spiraled down in every measure of societal health that if someone's our age and they don't feel desperate, I'd say something's wrong with them. That all of the pain, all the suffering, all the hurt, and are we okay with this? Is this all right to bequeath this world to our grandchildren and to our children? And I'd say no. And we ought to be desperate for God, even if we don't live in a place of overt persecution and poverty.
Well, I agree. And, you know, Jeff, you bring up this point about people from other places. And you and I'd introduce you to John Monger, who was my friend from Bhutan, yeah. who was a persecuted pastor. Every morning from 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., he gets up and prays. And he's got people doing that. I thought about, he calls people, he sends it out to the church, hey, we're getting up to pray. And there's people, it's not just him, there's groups of people praying from his church here. And I mean, and just to be honest, if you throw it out to people that have only been in our culture, that don't come from those cultures, to get them to come to a church and pray at 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., unless you've got a major disaster, it's going to be pretty tough to do. And you've got a pretty healthy church out there, and it's a large church. But wouldn't you agree that in our culture, it's just hard to get people motivated? You can get them to come to conferences on a lot of stuff. Yeah. But when you mention prayer, it's almost like people, I don't know if they're afraid. I don't know if, but it's hard to get them there, isn't it?
I think a big part of the problem is we're not desperate enough. And there's a pastor in Uganda, which went through terrible atrocities with Idi Amin, and this pastor lived through it, Jackson Sinyanga. And he said, until the cry of our repentance gets bigger than the cry of our sin, you know, we're just not going to see a real work of God. And as we look through history, every time there's been a major breakthrough in the spiritual realm, a breakthrough spiritually, it's been founded on prayer. And so I'm just appealing to our people, and we are on the journey to become more and more of a house of prayer. I'm appealing to our people is that we don't want to settle for nice, comfortable, suburban Christianity. We want to see God break through and change lives and rescue marriages and save people and heal teenagers and do major things, and that won't happen apart from desperate prayer.
I agree. Well, you know, Jeff, you had talked about our nation, and I believe people and countries, nations, can come to a point where God leaves them alone. I really believe, you know, if you look at Judges, back in, I think it's Judges chapter 10, God said, "You've served other gods, and I will serve you no more." And I mean, that's a scary place to be, to me.
No question. And the United States, we can't ignore God forever and just feel like we get a pass.
Yeah.
But we, too, have got to seek God with all our hearts. And the church in the United States has got to lead the way. Oh, God, we are desperate for you.
Yeah, we need to be. Well, Jeff, you know, I asked you a question before we went to the break.
Yep.
And for a young believer out there, or even an older believer who's been following for a long time, but their prayer life has been lacking and they feel paralyzed, they don't know where to start, how do you get them to get their running shoes on, to use your analogy, to go out the door and start actually just giving it a try? How do you do that?
I would pre-decide that I'm going to do this every day. No matter what happens, I'm going to pre-decide I'm going to do it. And then set a time and place. And okay, at 6 a.m., I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go into my living room, and I'm going to sit in this chair. I'm going to get some coffee. You know, whatever is best for you, fits you, find a time and a place, and that's an appointment with God, and that's a sacred time. And maybe you start with, say, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, but find something that's realistic for you. And then what you want to do is that there are no rules, there's no ritual, but share your heart with God, tell him you love him, tell him that you're so grateful for a Savior. Just share your heart. Tell him what you're thankful for. Worship him and praise him. And at some point pretty soon you want to open a Bible, and this is what I'd recommend you doing, is that you start with Genesis 1 and with Matthew 1. So you're in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And maybe you read a few minutes in each, but you don't just read them. You're talking with God about it. It's a spur to your prayer. You're reading something, and you see this promise that God made. Say, God, I want that in my life. You're talking with the Lord. You're praying through the Bible. And you might take 5 minutes in the Old Testament, 5 minutes in the New Testament. Maybe you started off with 5 minutes of praise and thanksgiving. I sing a song to God every day, and I can't sing worth a flip, but God likes it. And I love to sing it, and we all like to sing. Mm-hmm. And then I'll take some time with intercession at the end, and it can vary with individuals, but you're coming from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage you to focus on God to start with worship and thanksgiving. Pray some in the Scripture. Pray for the people that are close to you in your life, but just ask God to teach you to pray and what it makes you look like.
Well, that's very helpful, I think, for people. And I want to remind our listeners, in case you missed the first part or you've tuned in late, Jeff talked about his own journey, and he talked about a statement from Howard Hendricks, who was just a phenomenal teacher at Dallas Theological Seminary, because he didn't just teach. He really cared for the students. He interacted with them in their lives. He was just a very humble, and he was a great guy. And he said to Jeff and the people that were there with him, if you're serious about your relationship with God, set aside time every day for prayer and Bible study, time in the Word. And I'm convinced, Jeff, that our ability to articulate praise to God comes from our time in the Word and our quality of time with Him. If we don't have those things, then there's not going to be a lot of praise coming out of our mouth to God.
Yeah, it's true. You know, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church in the 1700s, he was a man of prayer. And God used him to really help bring the revival. He used him and George Whitfield and some others to help bring revival. And John Wesley knew that this time alone with God, he said, was so important. And I don't have the exact quote by front of him, but I know basically what he said. He was talking to his followers about the need to meet with God every day. And he said to them, he said, oh, begin doing this. It is for your life. Whether or not you feel like it, do this to meet with God, or else you will be a trifler all your day. And we don't use the word trifler, but he could only have meant you'll be just messing around. You'll be an amateur. You're not serious about God. If you don't do this, you're just a trifler with God.
Hmm.
Man, that challenge just pierces my heart, and that's the way we've got to be today. We don't want to just kind of know God at a distance or a little bit. It is for our life. Oh, begin. Fix some time every day.
That's really good. Well, you know, as we're sitting here talking about prayer, and I'm thinking about our country, I'm thinking about leaders in our country. One of the things that has been in the news the last few days is this stuff going on with Joshua Harris. And, you know, Joshua Harris was a very well-known guy. To go and to take over the leadership of the church where C.J. Mahaney was pastoring is a pretty big set of shoes to fill. And he filled those shoes, and now he's walked away from his faith. At least that's what he said. And that's left ripples everywhere. I mean, in the faith community, you got a lot of people scratching their heads. I was talking to a guy yesterday. His brother went to that church, and it shocked everybody. They didn't see it coming. How do you, as a leader, Jeff, who have a responsibility for shepherding your flock there, and how do you address things like that when they come up, when people at that prominent influence level walk away from their faith? Because that's a pretty big ripple that's going to impact people's lives around this country.
Yeah. Well, no easy answers, Doug, but I would say this, because I too feel like that is so sad. I don't know him, but it's just so sad to see that. And I don't know what all is behind that, what he's going through, but I know this. There is no human being that we can put our eyes on and our trust in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank God raises up some godly men and women, and we can learn from them, but ultimately, only Jesus Christ is worthy of our trust and will not let us down. And so I just would encourage us just to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and that his human heroes are fallible and flawed. And I thank God that he uses so many leaders But ultimately, Jesus Christ is the only one that we can count on at the end of the day. And if anything, that ought to make us more desperate for God, because we're not immune from the worst sin. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to be a spiritual train wreck or spiritual disaster. Even, you know, Paul alluded to that. He didn't want to end up disqualified.
Well,
so I just said, let us stay close to God. Let us just stay close to God daily with him, time alone with him.
Well, as a pastor and someone who has walked and I've observed, and I know you listeners don't know Jeff, but I've spent time with Jeff. I've gone on walks with Jeff where we talked about life together and life. We've been on mission trips. By the way, Jeff, I was talking to somebody about Ecuador. I met somebody at a church I was speaking at last week from Ecuador, and I was telling them about my time down in Ecuador.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. I don't even remember the name of the missionary that took me to that prison, but I went to a prison there, and a guy took me out to among all the death row and life convicted prisoners. And the one guy who was in there said, "Don't tell anybody you used to be an FBI agent," you know, and because he said they'll kill you. but we had a great trip. You remember, and we talked about it. We prayed together. And so, as somebody who's walked with you, I've been very encouraged in my walk by just your influence, and knowing you're human and knowing you're a man, that just exactly what we were talking about with Joshua Harris. We don't want to set our eyes on a man. Anything good coming out of you is God coming through you, and we know that. So how can we pray for guys like you? I know there's enormous responsibility in this celebrity-driven culture we have, where everybody's wanting somebody to just spoon-feed them and give them everything. How can we pray for you, a guy like you, for their pastors? Because I really want our listeners to lift up their pastors, their leaders, so that what happened with Joshua Harris doesn't happen, that we can be encouragers. So how can we pray for guys like you?
Well, just a couple of thoughts, Doug. One is I do encourage you to pray for your pastor, pray for your pastors, pray for your elders, that God would protect them, that God would draw them. There are a whole lot of pastors who start off with the best of motives, but with the busyness of life, the pressures, the challenges, that pretty soon the main thing becomes ministry rather than Jesus himself. We tend to become workers for God rather than lovers of God.
Mm-hmm.
More Martha than Mary. And so just pray that your pastor, your leaders will just stay close to the Lord, love the Lord with all their hearts, and they need your prayers. And the best thing you can do for your pastor is to pray for your pastor daily. So mm-hmm. I just encourage you to do that. For the pastors out there, Doug, or for those who are involved with any kind of vocational Christian ministry, like yourself, like missionaries, all of those, I think the encouragement for us is that because we're always around the things of God, we might think that makes us close to God. But that's not necessarily true. Is that our focus cannot be what we do for God. It's got to be God. It's got to be Jesus. And so we want to not just be serving God. We want to be loving God. Mm-hmm. We want to be meeting with God daily for our own soul, not for the sake of people we minister to. So those are a couple of thoughts about pastors.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Jeff, again, we're talking with Jeff Wells of Woods Edge Community Church. It was a church Lori and I attended when we were out in the Woodlands, when we lived out there, and I had the privilege of getting to know Jeff when we were there, and can attest to you as somebody who has known him for a long time that he lives out what he talks about, and I think that's a really, really important thing today. And Jeff, one of the things I wanted to commend you for that I don't know that I have is taking in people into your home and shepherding. I don't know what led you to do that. John Monger does that with people that come and visit his church. Every Sunday he brings people to his house. I think you do it monthly, right? You bring a group to your house.
Just twice a month we'll have 24 people each over to our house for dinner normally.
Yeah, and I think that's so important today. I don't know. We only have a few minutes left. Tell me about the shepherding? What has led you to do that? Because you, I know you're shepherding these young men, you're shepherding your body. In a time where we see more of a CEO model, has there been anything that has, because we do have pastors that listen and ministry leaders, is there a resource out there for shepherding younger believers that has been helpful to you?
Well, two thoughts. Let me first of all give my wife credit, because her natural gift is hospitality. So she leads the way for us and setting the tone and setting the model. So that's her spiritual gift. And every pastor's wife doesn't lean into that. So that's one thing. But every pastor must shepherd, disciple, spend some one-on-one time or that time with a handful. And to me, the challenge there is just, that's what Jesus did. He wasn't just with the multitudes. He was primarily with a handful of men. Paul modeled that. This is part of our calling, is to disciple men, for those of us who are men, and women for women, and to pour our lives into them. It's not just the content, though that's certainly important. We need to get them in the Word, but we also need to love them, pray for them, challenge them, listen to them, pray for them, pray with them. And because Jesus modeled the way, set the way, we need to do so. You know, Doug, I think of the Master Plan of Evangelism, the classic old book by Robert Coleman.
Robert Coleman, man, what a great guy that he is, too. Yeah. That's a great resource.
That's one great resource.
Yeah, the Master Plan of Evangelism, Robert Coleman, he lives it out, too. He was a man of prayer. I met him in Amsterdam, Jeff, and he was a great, great encourager in prayer, too. And prayer was how that book came about, you know, just through his time with God. So, well, listen, as go ahead.
He's the man that Billy Graham selected to help disciple the people coming to faith through his tradition. So he's a great resource.
Yeah, he was very, very active with the BGEA. I know he did a lot with them. But that little book is great for so many reasons, not evangelism and prayer. I mean, it's just a good discipleship book. It's called The Master Plan of Evangelism. So real quick, just to recap. Resources, practical resources, Tim Keller's book called Prayer, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala, and then Mark Batterson, Circle Maker, also Drawing the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge, and then Jeff's book on Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, Breaking Free of OCD, My Battle with Mental Illness. It's on Amazon.com. All those you can get there. Jeff, as we go out, I would like to just pray for you and your ministry, just thanking you for being on here and just lifting you up. Okay.
I love that.
All right. So, Father, we take a moment now just on air and live just to lift up our brother Jeff. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for just his time today with us. I pray that you would bless that, bless his family, continue to let your favor rest on him. Lord, you are great and awesome, and even sharing through him about our need to think big when we do things for you and dream about things for you. I think so often we're limited, Father, and we don't want to be that way. So I pray for every listener, those that are your children, that you would raise up this deep desire in them to do big things for you and to call out to you and then to brag on you when you do those things. So thank you for Jeff. I pray that you would continue to use him to speak in the lives of these young people and all the people in his body. Use Wood's Edge to affect that community in the world, and guard his heart. Lord, guard his ministry. Lord, just continue to keep him humble on his knees in your word, and let your favor rest on him and speak through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, and may God bless every one of the listeners you've got there.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for calling in. That was Jeff Wells. You can hear this again on Monday. It will be up on our website, www.swatradio.com. You can send questions to ask@swatradio.com. Communicate Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @SWAT Radio Talk. Pray for us tomorrow. We're doing our SWAT retreat, praying for decent weather. And we will be back on Monday. Next week, we are talking about sharing your faith with others. So have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday, SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to